Well, amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. Let's stand together. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. If you have a lesson handout, you may have already noticed that you can kind of take the night off on taking notes, because there are no blanks. But there is a cute coloring page on the back, which you can still do. Having all the points and everything there is kind of makes it hard to listen to preaching, because you already know where I'm going. So unless you're taking notes like that, I suggest just setting aside and listening, because really having notes like that kind of takes away from some of the impact of preaching. When you're listening to it and you don't know where the preacher, when you have no idea what the preacher's going to say, it just has more impact. Now, last week we studied chapter 7, Under the Flattery of Folly. These first nine chapters, as I said, for the last 10 lessons, it's a wise father teaching a simple son. And, of course, he needs to know the importance of avoiding the wrong kind of woman. This woman is a flatterer. She says the things that you want to hear. You may not even know you want to hear them, but you do. It satisfies the ego. Actually, the ego is never satisfied, but it tickles the ego. It pleases the ego for a little while. And you have to be careful, men, because men are stupid. And they get easily misled by flattery. And, what a good guy you are, how handsome you are. Look in the mirror, sir, you're not good looking. What a great man you are, what a great father you are, what a great husband. I wish my husband was all that nonsense. That's the flattery of folly. And it's not going to lead down a good path. But fools eat it up. Because fools love to be flattered. But flattery is a lie, all right? A sincere compliment is one thing, but flattery is always a lie. And even compliments you have to take with a grain of salt and not let them go to your head. And really, ladies have to be careful about the things they say to men that aren't their husbands, because men are stupid. And you just have to be discreet with them. But anyway, that's just the... Chapter 7 was the flattery of folly. She looks good. She's advertising what she has to offer. She's dressed as a harlot. She offers instant gratification and no obvious consequences. She represents the way of foolishness, because folly offers instant gratification. No need to wait. No need to tie yourself down to responsibilities. You can have everything you want with me. She says folly looks good. Folly looks fun, looks exciting, looks satisfying. But folly is lying when she says there's no danger and there won't be any consequences. As I said last week, the strange woman typifies foolishness, but wisdom is represented by a good and godly woman. And she's represented by the faithful, loving wife in chapter 5, and then in chapters 8, and in the first half of chapter 9, we see her again, where she has built her house and has pillars, and she has this great feast prepared, and she's inviting everyone to come and enjoy this wholesome feast in the house of wisdom. And it really is a beautiful picture to finish this 9-chapter lesson that begins the book of Proverbs. So last week was the flattery of folly, and this week is the warning of wisdom. Folly will tell you what you want to hear, but wisdom will tell you what you need to hear. That's the difference between a preacher and an ear tickler. The ear tickler tells you what you want to hear. A Bible preacher tells you what you need to hear, whether you like it or not. And a lot of folks don't like it. But wisdom tells you what you need to hear. And so in our lesson tonight, we're going to look at two sides of this relationship to wisdom. The first side deals with wisdom and what she offers to us. The second side, or the other side, deals with our responsibilities to wisdom. You know, every real relationship has two sides and responsibilities towards each other. A one-way relationship is not really a relationship. And if you're going to have a relationship with folly, folly promises you all sorts of things, but she never delivers. But you're going to be bound up and caught up in it anyway. And wisdom promises you some wonderful things, but she has some responsibilities. You've got to do your part, or you're not going to get the benefits that wisdom has. Okay, so Wisdom comes with responsibilities. I would say, and I know we're all tired of politics, but I'll say this, and I'll move on quickly. If one political party is offering you everything for nothing, and the other political party is offering you freedom with responsibility, choose freedom and responsibility. That's why the Republicans always have an uphill battle, because you have one side that's saying, we'll give you all this for free, and the Republicans are saying, yeah, but we want you to actually work for yourself, provide for yourself. We're not giving you nothing. So it's always an uphill battle on one side, and the other side that just will just give you everything. But you know, I don't want everything given to me. I want to earn my living. I want to earn my way through life. I don't need a bunch of freebies. I'll take a sample at Sam's. But I don't want to go through life expecting all the other taxpayers to pay for my life. Okay, so, and that's an important truth, I think, that we ought to embrace, that we ought to accept our responsibility for ourselves and not expect Big Daddy government to take responsibility for our lives. I don't want to be cared for. I want freedom. And I'm not. That's beyond politics. That is a mega, one of the big issues of life. Do you want to be taken care of by the government, or do you want to have freedom so you can take care of yourself? The biblical way is for us to earn our own bread and work with the sweat of our own face and eat our own bread and mind our own business and take care of ourselves. So with wisdom comes responsibilities. Now, the first main point is the witness of wisdom. We must listen to understand. Verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. You see how wisdom is available? She's not hard to find. She's not hiding away. Wisdom is not something that's hidden away in some Tibetan monastery or on a mountaintop that you have to go on some pilgrimage to try to risk your life to get up there to try to find some guru that can give you a little bit of wisdom for the day. Wisdom is not on some scroll that's buried under rubble and waiting for some archaeologist to dig it out and find it and translate it so that you and I can have wisdom. Wisdom is not something that you just have to search for all your life and then maybe at the end of your life you'll finally find wisdom. No, wisdom is right out in the front. Wisdom is in the high places. Wisdom is crying out, here I am. Here I am. And she stands at the gates and she stands at the doors. And as men are going about their business, she stands there and says, here I am. I'm wisdom. Look at all that I have to offer for you, to you. But we have to stop and listen to wisdom. She's available. And the benefits of wisdom you can have now. Now. Well, you know, I'll live my life and I'll make my mistakes and one day when I'm old and gray-haired, I'll have wisdom. Why do you want to wait that long? Why do you want to wait till you're old and gray-haired and then you have wisdom? By then, you've already probably gotten married. You probably already raised your kids. You already have grandkids. You probably already lived your life, had your career. Then at the end, you want wisdom? Why don't you want wisdom at the beginning? Now, children don't have wisdom. That's why they need parents, wise parents, to teach them wisdom. But that doesn't mean when you're 12 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old, 21 years old, that you can't already be on the path of wisdom based on what you have already learned from the Word of God and wise examples. Why would I want to wait that long to have the benefits of wisdom? The fact is, you need wisdom more in the early years than you're going to need it in the end. One of the nicest compliments that was given to me just recently, one of our senior men, he said, you know, I wish, and I don't think this is egotistical. It may be, but don't think it. But he said, I wish you had been my pastor 50 years ago. You know, 50 years ago when he's starting to raise his kids, that sort of thing. I said, well, 50 years ago, I wasn't even a sparkle in my daddy's eye. But I took it as a compliment. For someone to say, you know, 50 years ago when I'm starting out in my life and I'm starting to have kids and starting to raise them, I wish that I could have been in this church listening to this kind of preaching. So a lot of folks, they take that for granted. But you know, when you're young and you're making decisions like what you're going to do with your life and who you marry and how you raise your kids and how you raise them when you're trying to win the war before they're four and how you deal with your teenagers and all that sort of thing. Why wait until it's over to try to find wisdom when wisdom is standing there saying, here I am. I'm right here. I'm in the high places. I'm at the gates. I'm in the door. I'm at the intersections. I'm right there available. Why would you not want wisdom now when she is so available? Folks, has the Word of God ever been more available than it is now? You can find it everywhere. You can get it online for free. You can buy it at the dollar store. And at least here in our area, at least you have church and the opportunity to go to church. And folks could even, God forbid, watch it on Facebook if they wanted to. And still, wisdom says, here I am. Here. Oh, but we're busy living life, man, making decisions, making mistakes too, stockpiling our mistakes, reverberating consequences through our decisions. But maybe one day when we're older, we'll slow down and start reading this book and listening to this wisdom. Why not start now? Why wait until then? When wisdom is available and just needs to be listened to and understood. Now, notice that wisdom calls particularly to men in verse 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Now, of course, women need wisdom too. There's a lot of foolish women today. Silly women laden with sins. Foolish wives, foolish mothers, foolish fur baby mommies. Foolish. We're going to have if our society is going to be changed, we're going to need better women. We're also going to need better men. And so, yes, we need wisdom. Women need wisdom too. I thank God I have a wise wife. The things that she can do just amaze me. The kind of business she can get done and the decisions she makes are so wise and intelligent, you know, just amazes me. And I thank God to have a wise wife, not some silly, foolish female. You know, thank God for that. But here we have wisdom that is crying out. She says, unto you, O men, I call. Why? Because men need wisdom if they're going to lead their homes. Men need wisdom to lead in society. Men need wisdom to lead in their church. Men need wisdom to lead in their nation. And men probably need wisdom more than women just because of our makeup. That's a generalization. But women, I think, generally speaking, unless they've been messed with in their brains by feminism, generally want to settle down more than men do. I think that's a fair generalization. Maybe settle down, have a nest, have some kids. Men, that is not our nature at all. Men want to get out and run the world and do our thing. A man's nature does not want to be tied down. Just telling you the truth. So we need, but this is not wise to live like that. Wisdom is to settle down, get married, have some kids, live an honorable life, make a difference in your society, raise those kids up for good and God, and be a good, decent person. Not someone who's out here living like an alley cat, living like an animal. That's not a wise, that's a foolish way of life. So wisdom says to us men especially, hey men, you need to deny your nature and practice some wisdom. If you want to enjoy life the way you think you want to enjoy life. So men settle down. And, you know, to make up for that, we go hunting and kill things. We go fishing and catch things. We desire things like man caves. Maybe a Mustang. You know. Maybe with a V8 engine, maybe with a stick shift, 300 horsepower. What was my point? I've forgotten how. I don't remember where I was. Anyhow, but men need to have wisdom. By the way, a lot of foolish females today, they didn't have a strong, wise dad anywhere in their life. Nowhere in their life. Now I'm saying, men, our wisdom is calling out to us in particular. Because men need to grow up. A boy will stay a boy till he's 45 if someone lets him. You know people like that. As long as they have a mom or a wife to baby them and leave them in this immature state, they'll take it. As long as someone's paying their bills and giving them a place to stay where they can plug in their video games, they'll stay a baby forever. Men need to have, they need to accept wisdom. They need to grow up. They need to assume their God-given responsibilities for leadership, because the quick and easy route of folly does not produce strong, wise men seeking instant gratification, dodging responsibility, being unwilling to bear your burdens, choosing to please the flesh rather than deny oneself. That is not what men are made of. Amen. Unto you, O men, I call. Time to grow up. Time to accept wisdom. Time to quit looking over at the strange woman and her instant gratification and her false flattery and her empty promises. And it's time to tie yourself down to the wise woman, the good woman who has a good life, but wants you to be a man to enjoy that kind of life. We have young men now, not just young men, unfortunately, but hiding behind their mom, hiding behind their wife, pushing their responsibilities off on their wife. Wife does everything while he plays games and goofs off through life. You know, working some 30-hour a week job while she works 60 hours a week just to provide for him. There's a definite shortage of manhood in our country. And there's a shortage of manhood because men are not accepting wisdom. Wisdom means put your toys away. When you were a child, you spake like a child, you played like a child, you acted like a child. It's time to put away childish things and act like a man. Until you're about 45 and then you start buying more toys and playing like a kid again. Mrs. Raspberry's like, nope, not happening. Well, wasting money. Immature people waste money. They spend all their money on video games and hobbies and modding out their car. They got a $50 car and a $500 sound system. They have no life insurance. They have no emergency fund. They have no health insurance. They have no money for a rainy day. Their kids don't have clothes and shoes, but they got their toys taken care of. Wouldn't you agree that we need some men with wisdom today? Don't we want our sons to grow up to be wise young men and make wise decisions? Don't we want wise men in the church and wise men in our homes? Couldn't we use wise men in our nation instead of the fools that are ruining so much of our country right now? They are fools. Folks, it is foolish to think a man and a woman are the same. It's foolish to think a man can give birth to a baby. It's foolish to lock down a society when 99.97% of people survive this virus, but we're destroying millions of people's lives and businesses and industry and savings and all this stuff. This is foolishness we're seeing in our country today. Where is the wisdom? Everyone that wants the lockdown continue has a paycheck coming in. It's foolishness. They're locking down states all over. Another stay-at-home order. It's a crying shame. You know, we need adults running our country, not fools. Well, anyway. It's better when I post stuff on Facebook about politics, because then I bring less of it into the pulpit. See, I took a break from pulpit for 3 days. Now it's all coming out from Facebook, I should say. All right, I'll move on. I've angered the two liberals in the church. I won't tell you who they are. I'm kidding. There are none. All right, number two, the worth of wisdom. Seek her early, verses 11 through 19. Verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. Now, you may think that diamonds are the most precious thing. I never have seen the appeal for diamonds. There's no color to them. Rubies were the most precious gem of the ancient world. And so she says that wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, the fool has lots of desires, but he has no interest in wisdom. No interest in it at all. Won't spend 10 minutes to learn wisdom. But he'll spend a lot of time learning how to beat a video game, learning how to mod out his car and how to make his engine louder and how to kill a deer and all that. He'll spend lots of time on that sort of thing, but he won't give 10 minutes to actually wisdom that might help his life be better. So wisdom says, my wisdom is better than rubies. Anything you can desire can't be compared to it. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, wisdom and prudence go together. They're roommates. And the 1828 dictionary defines prudence as wisdom applied to practice. wisdom applied to practice. The longer definition is that prudence implies caution in deliberating and consulting on the most suitable means to accomplish valuable purposes. Prudence differs from wisdom in this, that prudence implies more caution and reserve than wisdom, or is exercised more in foreseeing and avoiding evil. It is sometimes mere caution or circumspection. The point here is that it's not really wisdom if you don't act wisely. You can know everything, and some people do. They know all the things they ought to know. They just don't make good decisions. When it's time to make decisions, they can't make good decisions. You know, they know the wise thing to do. They just don't do it. They don't practice it. They know I shouldn't rush into this, but they rush into it anyway. I shouldn't do this, but they do it anyway. Whereas prudence would say, don't do that. When we had our donkey, Jack, when I was reading up about donkeys, they're much more prudent than horses. And what they'll do is, horses will kind of go where they're led, but a donkey always watches where he's going. And if he doesn't like where you're leading him, he just won't go. And sometimes you don't understand why. Why don't you want to go? But you may be going down some rocky path, and he sees something, and he's I'm not going any further. I'm not risking it. I'll just sit here. And that's prudence. Prudence says, you know, why should I get myself into a dangerous situation? Wisdom is not just knowing what to do, but prudence is actually knowing what to do and doing it. Now, what are the benefits of wisdom? Well, it gives a righteous fear of God, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom provides good counsel, verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. I mean, if it's good enough for the kings and rulers of the earth, it's good enough for you and I in our daily lives. Wisdom brings true riches, verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. I like that word, durable. These are riches that don't rise and fall with the stock market. These are riches that don't rise and fall with the value of the dollar. These kind of durable riches, they retain their value no matter what's going on in the world. Some things are always going to be priceless. Some things are always going to be worthless. And so wisdom has these durable riches. You know what a durable riches is? Your marriage, your family, your church, your friends, your relationship with God. These are the sorts of things that actually matter in life, far more than all these other things that we think matter in life. So wisdom helps us to have these true riches. And then verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. You want a continual revenue? You know? Make some investments so you have a continual income coming in from your investments. Wisdom gives a continual revenue of good things into our lives. All right, so what is my responsibility? Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So your responsibility is to love wisdom and to seek her early. Now, children have no wisdom. They need wise parents. So how do we start our children out on the path of wisdom? Well, first, you teach them right from wrong. Do this, don't do that. You teach them that there are consequences when they do what is wrong. Encourage delayed gratification. Like, when I was a kid, if I wanted something, my parents would say, save up for it. That's delayed gratification. That's wisdom. And I'm glad to see in the last few years to see coming back the Christmas, what do they call them? Layaway. Instead of buying it on credit and paying interest, maybe paying interest for 20 years on it because you don't ever pay off a credit card. Why not, you know, you go down there, you put it on layaway, you put $10 down, you pay $10 a week or $15 a week or $5 a week until you have paid it off, and then you have earned it, and then it means more to you, and you, now it's yours, as opposed to paying it off and you're still paying on it long after you're tired of it. You know. So delayed gratification, that's when you teach that to your kids. Instead of just giving them whatever they want whenever they want it, you teach them to save up for it, put things off, or you bribe them. If you do this, you know, maybe for a couple of weeks or whatever, then you get it. Anything that teaches delayed gratification, instead of always expecting everything I want right now, is helping to develop wisdom, even in a little child. Make them earn things. Don't always just give them things, although I do believe in giving your kids things. When we love our kids, we want to give them things, but there are some things they really need to earn. That builds character. Teach them responsibility. This is your room. This is your bed. You'll make your bed. I don't make your bed for you. I'm not the maid. I'm your mother. You will pick up your own clothes. This is your chore. This is your pet to feed. I'm not going to feed it for you. If you don't feed this pet, the pet will die. It's teaching responsibility. My parents did that with me to a limited degree, but it still was enough. Don't do everything for them. Teach them to be self-starters and self-supervisors. Teach them to get along wisely with other people instead of always having to have their own way. Sooner or later, people won't want to play with them anymore, want to be around them anymore because they're tired of always having to fight to do anything. Train them up the way they should go. Teach them that certain behaviors are not acceptable in polite society. But then at some point, you have to want wisdom for yourself. You have to say, you know what, I want to be wise. Kids, you have to say, I want to have wisdom. I choose it, and I will love it, and I will seek it early, and I will find it. Learn what you can about the Bible. Stay humble. Listen to good advice. And the earlier, the better. But today is better than never. Amen. I fell in love with the idea of wisdom as a teenager. I've always fell in love with the Bible. Here's God's Word. Began reading that Bible and some Proverbs. Always loved Proverbs because of that. Just want to have wisdom. And if you fall in love with that, it can be a lifelong joy to be seeking after and learning God's wisdom. All right, number three, the way of wisdom. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Wisdom will not lead you in paths of unrighteousness. The Word of God never leads us to do the wrong thing. If you want to have wisdom, you have to follow the paths of righteousness. Your responsibility there is to follow. That can lead to a bunch of good treasures, not a bunch of regrets. Number four, the wonder of wisdom. Keep to the path. The wonder of wisdom, keep to the path. Verse 21, and on down, just a long passage, but it just teaches us the wonder of wisdom. Look at verse 21. I'm sorry, 22. The Lord possessed me, wisdom, in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. You think, if God made the world by His wisdom, that His wisdom might actually be a good compass for you to follow too. I think if by God's wisdom He laid the foundation of the earth, that's a good foundation for you to build your life on. So, I mean, here you're talking about ancient wisdom. Oh, man, 400 B.C., look at these Greek philosophers. I got something older than that. Amen. God's Word established from the beginning. And verse 32, we'll skip down. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So now is the time to listen and learn what is wise and what is foolish. But it's not just when you start out as a child. By the way, children can learn far more than adults can. Their brains are their information highways. They soak it up in such an amazing way. Us adults, we can't learn nearly as fast as kids can. That's why it's important to start them young. But you got to keep listening. You can't get arrogant. You know, arrogant people are almost always ignorant. They're so ignorant, but they don't even know how dumb they are. So they're arrogant. It's like if you knew more, if you weren't just in this little bitty world where you have a little bit of information, you saw a bigger glimpse of things, you'd realize just how much there is to learn. And you'd be a little more humble. You know, if we have not arrived. I don't care if you've been saved 20 years. So what? A lot of folks have been saved 20 years and don't know hardly anything. And that doesn't mean you need to stop learning. I haven't. I study and read all the time. I get tired of reading. Read, read, read. I read books that other people don't read. I read books and I tell you about them and you all look bored. You think, oh, preacher, you just read theology books. No, I don't. I read all kinds of stuff. I'm reading a book now called Ordinary Men. Ordinary Men. About how these German everyday people about the age of Brother Camp and myself, who, when the Nazis started World War II, they formed these police forces, and how these everyday people were killing thousands and thousands of Jews, just laying them down on the ground and shooting them, and is studying how these normal everyday guys like me could end up being these systematic mass murderers, and the psychology of that. It's fascinating to me. I'm reading another book on, you can watch more than one TV show in a week, can't you? You can read more than one book in a week, too. I forget what the other book is right now. All I have to do is open Kindle, and there it is. What is that other book I'm reading? I just finished one on Truman and the State of Israel, how God worked that out to rebirth the nation of Israel. It's fascinating. You see, when we stop learning, we divorce ourselves from sources of wisdom. When I read things like that, it helps me to understand humanity better. Not that I like what I see, but it makes the Bible come alive to me. So, hearken, listen, hear instruction, be wise, refuse it not. Keep to the path. Get on it when you're young, stay on it when you're middle-aged, die on it when you're old, but stay on that path of wisdom. All right, lastly, the warning of wisdom, love her. Verse 34, blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You know the easiest way, kids, listen. You want to start on the path of wisdom? Here's the gates. Every day, open the gates and get some wisdom. There it is. Every day, the wise man goes to the gates and gets some wisdom. That's how you do it. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. And then verses 35 and 36 are Proverbs in a nutshell. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So are you going to seek after and love wisdom and obtain favor from God? Or are you going to sin against God's wisdom and wrong your own soul? And here's something about sin and foolishness. All sin is against God, because it's God's authority behind His commandments. But sin is also against your own well-being. It's a sin against yourself. You're sinning against your own soul. You're hurting your own character, and if you engage in enough sin for long enough, it'll change your character. That's what I'm seeing in these men in the Ordinary Men book, is these men who started out horrified by what they were being told to do by the SS, and many of them unwilling to even participate in it, and sick to their stomachs by what was happening. And within 3 months, they're just executing them by the thousands and no longer even bothered by it. You know what sin does? It warps the soul. You engage in it long enough, it'll change who you are. It'll change what you are. All sin is against God, but sin also mars your character. And it's doing a wrong to yourself. So if you want to sin against me, you might hurt me, but you'll definitely hurt yourself. And it's not likely that you'll hurt me. You will hurt yourself. So it's important that we understand that about sin. Sin is a contradiction against your own best interest, whereas wisdom is in your own best interest. A life of foolishness is doing yourself wrong, and it won't be just yourself. It'll affect your spouse, your parents, your kids, and those around you. If you want what is best for yourself, then choose wisdom and love wisdom and listen to wisdom. You see, and I'll finish with this, but Proverbs really is about the realities of life. Wisdom and foolishness are not just abstract spiritual notions. They're practical, down-to-earth realities. If you choose folly, you're choosing a path filled with disappointment and pain. If you choose wisdom, you're choosing a path that leads to the best possible life in this old sin-scarred world. Not a perfect life. There is no Garden of Eden you're going to discover. But it will be the best possible life you can have in this old world, when you follow the path of wisdom. Wisdom will dwell with prudence. If you reject wisdom, you're hurting yourself, you'll hurt others. But we have to put wisdom into practice and make good decisions in life. The warning of wisdom.